Let's do two things. Stick your finger in Matthew 5. Your Bible actually probably should fall open right there, or put one of your markers if you've got markers in there. I've got these nice little ribbons that are on my Schofield. Put your ribbon in there and then go up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll go back to 2 Timothy as well later on as we preach through there. But I just want to read one verse to jump on. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll start with the conjunction just to get the context. The conjunction is found in verse 10. It starts with the word but. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. You know what? Let's go back just a wee bit further. Tell you what. Let's go back to verse 1. All right. Verse 1, chapter 3, 2 Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And if there's not a description of America right now, there it is. There it is. Isn't it? Amen. I mean, it's word for word. It's perfect. It perfectly describes the spirituality of our country at this point in time. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, what does it say to do? Turn away. Turn away. Don't turn toward. Don't turn into. Don't get sucked in. And that doesn't necessarily mean outside the walls of this building in a physical sense. We can turn in on the phone. Can't we? We can turn right in on the phone. And we shouldn't be doing that either. It says, from such turn away. I'll be honest with you. I get depressed sometimes and get a little bit down, and then I always have to ask myself this question: what got you here? What got you here? And then I start thinking about what I was thinking about. Well, that's Wednesday night, isn't it? I started thinking about what I was thinking about, and then I thought about what I was thinking about and where I came. What I was thinking about came off that phone. A headline, an article, something along that line that just got my dander up and drug me right straight down. Right straight down. And it's like, yeah, that's why. That's why. And it's my own fault. I'm not going to blame it on the world. I'm going to blame it on me. I'm the one that went there. I'm the one that didn't turn away from it. I turned into it. I tuned into it. And then here I have what I have. I'm angry. I'm thinking bad thoughts about people, thinking what I'd like to do. And it's like, wait, where did that come from? Well, it's because I don't turn away. I don't turn away. I turn toward. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. And don't just go to the immoral part of that and say, well, that's talking about immoral women. No, it ain't talking about that. That's a whole different ball game here that it's actually talking about. And it's talking about these divers lusts are these wanderlusts that are in our world today. And a lot of the wanderlust is driven by the phones as well. They don't have to come into the house and lead them away physically. They can come right into the homes and lead away women and children and young people right on, and the dads right on the phone. Amen. They don't have to physically kick your door in. We let them in. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We are in an age where people, I don't know that we're learning anymore now. Because AI is taking over. We're letting the computers do it for us. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist or fight against what? The truth. And we'll see that today as we get into this. Not sure how far we'll get, but we'll see. Men of corrupt minds. Notice the next word. That is a serious word that should be used in serious contexts and not just flipped out there flippantly. To become a reprobate mind is to become a person who has crossed over the line as far as God is concerned. Crossed over the line and spiritually speaking, has gone too far. There's a thing called the point of no return. Okay? The point of no return. Now, back in the day, in the 1400s, the shippers believed that you could sail off the end of the earth. And there was a point of no return. Once you get to the edge and the bow of that ship goes across, you're falling off the earth. And spiritually speaking, and I don't know when it is, because the only one who knows when it is for any individual is God Almighty. And that is the point of no return. That is the point where God says, okay, if that's what you want, if that's who you want to be, you can have it. I'm done. His spirit will not always strive with man. Okay? Don't ever think that there's this. Look, we don't give up on people, do we? I'll be honest with you. God forgive me. But I never thought my father-in-law would get saved. I mean, the men from Maranatha Baptist Church witnessed to that man. My wife can tell you from the day her mother went to that church, literally, constantly, and he rejected it. As a matter of fact, my father-in-law wasn't the kind that just, he wasn't rude, he didn't curse him, but when Pop put the wall up, you knew it. The wall is up, the conversation's over, okay? And Pop was good at that in a very quiet way. The wall would, you could almost hear it slam shut. And I thought, man, all these years. And right there, 2 years before he passed, he got gloriously saved. And that was such a blessing, and it was a rebuke to me. So in light of that, we don't give up on anybody, okay? Don't ever think that we ever give up on somebody. God will give them over in His time, but we don't. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. Verse 9. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Paul says, look, these men that he's talking about, these men that he talks about from verse 1 all the way down through verse 8, In verse 9, he says, there's going to come a point in time where they'll proceed no further. And then he makes a contrast. These are men that are leading people away in another direction who we should be turning from. There are people that are leading people away. And he says, but thou, and he makes a contrast here, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. In other words, what is Paul contrasting? He's contrasting the philosophy of the world that they live in with what he's preaching. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing in Matthew chapter 5. And don't make it anything other than it is. It is a contrast between the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the gospel according to the Pharisees. Okay? And we have the same thing in our world today. We have a gospel once delivered to the saints, to Paul and to the 12 apostles, that was delivered to them. Then they delivered that out. We have that gospel that was given to us, and we cannot turn from it. And we should, in our preaching and our teaching, there should be a contrast between here and there. Amen. There. I mean, literally, there. Amen. And there is, because I've heard there. And it doesn't match what's here. And I am never going to go out of my way to bring ire between here and there, but at the same time, there is a difference. I'll be honest with you, when all the turmoil came in the United Methodist, I hate to use this as an example, but I can't help it, it's sitting next door to me. When the turmoil came with the United Methodist Church and there was a movement to accept this gender-affirming stuff and the trans people and the homosexuals and the lesbians and all of this thing, and they said we need to be inclusive, okay? At that point in time, there were over 7,000 congregations that said no, okay? But there's a vast majority that said we're okay. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. Amen. There is a difference. And there's a difference in more ways than one. The fundamental difference is how we look at this. This ain't just suggestions. Amen. Or this isn't just this broad message. It is very specific. It is made up of words and sentences and verses, and every last bit of it is the Word of God. And I guarantee you, most in these other churches do not believe that. Well, I believe the message, but there are things I have problems with. I've heard that time and time again. Have you not? When talking to people? Sure you have. And he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. And not only did they know his doctrine, he says, and manner of life. In other words, my doctrine has permeated me to the point where I am different. The day we cease to be different is the day that our light goes out. And we're going to see that in Matthew chapter 5. The day that there's not a contrast. There's always going to be a contrast. Satan has always sought. He is the father of lies. Every time we have something good, he brings in something evil. And the thing is, it's usually as close to the truth as possible with just a tiny bit of error in it, because that's how he slips it in. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose. What is Paul's purpose? My purpose is to preach the gospel and to honor and glorify God. Faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Look at verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And here's what he says. In connection with that verse and the preceding verses, we cannot take this verse out of its biblical context. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus might suffer persecution. Is that what it says? No. It has a word there that is very definite. And the very definite word is shall. Shall. However, the verse is conditional. We will not experience persecution if we are not living godly in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, I want to get to the root of the problem, because the root of the problem is not what you do. I'm sick of that. And I'm sick of it in Baptist preaching too. It is not what you do. It is who you are. What you do will come out of who you are. But you can't put the cart before the horse. Amen. And we have lived. I've read it in the books of the last 50 and 60 years of the writers. And listen to some of the messages. And we sounded like Pharisees. We'll do right if what we are is right. See, there's the difference. And if we're not careful, we will become Pharisees. In every sense of the word. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. Who is a righteous man? Who is a righteous woman? Who is a righteous young person? Who is a saved man? Who is a saved woman? Who is a saved young person? That is the question of Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. Okay? It is a contrast between who the Pharisees say is a righteous person and who Jesus says is a righteous, saved person. And there are two gospels in America today. There is a gospel of, I don't know what to call it. There is the gospel of inclusive, and there's the gospel of Christ in our world today. And those two gospels, there must be a contrast shown between the two. I told the men back in Sunday school that I'm going to talk to a young man soon who made a childhood profession, yet for many, many years has lived like the devil. And I'm telling you right now, if that is the gospel, get your keys out and let's get out of here, because we're wasting our time. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things are become new. And you can't live like the devil year after year and claim to be a Christian. I'm sorry, that's a part of this other gospel that's in America today. Alice Cooper saved. Really? You should hear his testimony. It's amazing. But he gets up on the stage in the same thing he wore, singing the same songs he sang, but he says he knows Jesus. I'm serious about that. I watched his testimony, because when I said Alice Cooper becomes a Christian, I was like, oh, I'm listening to this one.
Because what I didn't see in the picture was the outward manifestation of what should have taken place in there. I was still seeing the guy I used to know. And it was like, wait a minute. Well, let me hear what he has to say. And I listened to his testimony. He has all the words. I even think he mentioned repentance. But as I listened carefully, see, why did he get saved? He got saved because of an addiction. Let me tell you something. You don't get saved because of an addiction. The addiction is the symptom of the problem. The problem is sin. And if you get saved because of an addiction, you're going to miss it. You get saved because you're a sinner. And so I listened to his testimony. But then today, I can see him perform. You can see him perform. And it's like, where's the contrast? Where's the contrast? I don't see it. I don't see that contrast. Oh, he's sober now. But there's more to being a Christian than sobering up.
Verse 3, the poor. Verse 4, that mourn. Verse 5, the meek. Verse 6, do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Verse 7, the merciful. Verse 8, the pure in heart. And last Sunday, verse 9, the peacemakers. And verse 10, the first, there are three, three, one, and then you have this number 8 right here. Blessed are they which are persecuted. This is the results of a truly righteous man. This is a result that takes place when there is a truly righteous woman, a saved woman, a saved man. The result will be several things. This will be a result of that salvation, as well as there will be an influence. And you see the influence in verse 13, 14, 15, 16, and 16. So you see a result and an influence of the gospel. The result of the gospel is this. And it's not just a result, it's also a grace that's given to us. And that is this. Blessed are they which are persecuted, notice, for righteousness' sake. For righteousness' sake. Keeping in mind what I read to you up in 1 Timothy, okay? And all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And here he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I told a young inmate up in Canada who walked up to me at a Christmas program, and I've told this story before. He said, if I smack you on the cheek right now, will you turn the other one to me? Kind of took me back because we were standing in a prison chapel, and I'm standing there with somebody who had murdered someone. And I thought, he's going to do it. And I was preparing myself for it, and I was thinking, what are you going to do? And as he hesitated, I said, I tell you what. Oh, man, I almost said his name. I said, I tell you what. If you're going to do it because I just preached the truth to you, have at it. I said, but so help me, if you ever meet me on the street and you walk up to rob me and you punch me, I'm going to tear you limb from limb. For what? Righteousness' sake. In all honesty, if he was to whack me right then in a test of righteousness, man, I hope I would hold up to the test. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't get no free shots on the street if I'm defending myself. Sorry. Jesus said, buy two swords.
You got two swords, that's good.
Okay? There's a balance there. Why am I doing what I'm doing? I'll tell you why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing it. Am I doing it for righteousness' sake? I'm going to tell you right now, you don't fool with my family either. I took my grandsons down to the creek the other day and watched them fish. They were all going to go down there by themselves. Anthony was with them. He's 17. He could have watched them, but I thought, nah, I'll go down there just in case. You mess with my grandsons. Guess what? I ain't turning the other cheek. Okay? There is a difference. There is a difference. Blessed are they which are persecuted for... Let me read what Albert Barnes had to say about this. I like Albert Barnes. He's a commentator. For righteousness' sake. And then he has a hyphen there. Because they are righteous. In other words, what he's saying, blessed are they which are persecuted for... Because are persecuted because they are righteous... Or are the friends of God. That's why the persecution's coming. Okay? We are not to seek persecution. This is why we are careful about what we put on the internet, on our website, and put out there as far as what I preach and teach. Because there's some stuff, well, most of the stuff, well, just about all of the stuff, is for you and no one else. I'm not feeding the rest of America. I'm feeding this flock. This is my responsibility, and this is who I'm going to give it to. And there are some situations where if I mention certain things and it were to go out over the radio or over the internet, we would have green-haired crazies in our parking lot with signs screaming obscenities at your children. Now, I am not going to put a target on our back. However, at the same time, should that come, and it could, simply because of not what we do, but who we are, and it may, that persecution could come, but I'm not inviting it. Okay? I'm not inviting it. We are not to seek persecution. Persecution is not something I should. And I see these guys online that go into certain areas and start screaming through a bull phone on a corner. And I'm going to be honest with you. If the Holy Spirit told them to do it, if they told him to be a Jonah, be Jonah. But if the Holy Spirit didn't do it, you don't do it. It's as simple as that when it comes to that. We are not to seek persecution. We are not to provoke it by strange sentiments or conduct. Does that make sense? I don't want to provoke it either. It should come simply by the fact that I'm different. But am I different enough to make a difference? There's the question. And I'm not talking about everybody going out and buying a buggy and black guys, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. Because to be honest with you, I think that is the other end of the pendulum. Right? I think it might be the other end of the pendulum. I'm not too... seek it. I'm not to provoke it by strange sentiments or conduct, by violating the laws of civil society. There's these unregistered church guys, Baptists, a lot of them, are Baptists that believe you shouldn't have a driver's license. Well, here's my thing. If you don't have a driver's license or you're not paying insurance, then get off my roads. Drive through the fields. That's crazy stuff. They take it to that end, and then they say, I don't have a driver's license, so I'm being persecuted for Jesus. Give me a break.
Amen. Amen.
It's garbage. It's not what I'm talking about. or by modes of speech that are unnecessarily offensive to others. I'm going to tell you right now, that church, that Baptist church out west that protest at those veterans' funerals were a bunch of, I'm about to get in the flesh. Because they have that name, Baptist, on their church. And what does that, somebody drives by here, what do they think? Same thing. They're the same people. They're all the same. No, I'm not the same. I'm not going to do that. We'll never do that. By modes of speech that are unnecessarily offensive to others. But if in the honest effort, listen to this, but if in the honest effort to be Christians and to live the life of Christians, others persecute and revile us, we are to consider this a blessing. When's the last time you were blessed? I mean, we all talk about, hey, I had a blessing this week. When's the last time somebody cussed you out and you walked away thinking, man, I got a blessing this week? Listen, when the wall goes up, it's the same thing. When you're talking to people about their soul and the wall goes up, don't get mad. You know what you should do? Get glad. I am doing what God has told me to do, and I'm getting pushback for it. The question is, when was the last time that happened to me? And when is the next time it's going to happen? And shouldn't it be happening more than it is? And if it's not, there's not something wrong with them. There's something wrong with me. Right? Listen. Part of me wants to go to Harrisburg and talk to another young man about his soul. Yet the other part of me keeps making excuses not to do it. Because I know, or at least I think I know, how the conversation is going to go. Now, I don't know that. I'm putting the cart before the horse. Right? But I think I know how the conversation is going to go. And it's like, look, none of us want to suffer persecution. And at the time, it's not pleasant. Yet, what does Jesus say here? Let's read those verses in Matthew.
Let's read these verses. Blessed, that means happy. Okay? Now, teenagers, this should really ring true with you. Okay? Because you are the ones, you young people are the ones that suffer from the peer pressure. Been there, done it. I don't suffer from it anymore. Well, I still do kind of suffer from it some. If I go to a preacher's conference somewhere, I suffer from peer pressure. And the first thing I want to do is get out of there. It's like, man, these guys are out to lunch. Let me out of here. Young people, peer pressure. Nobody wants it. And that's what this persecution feels like.
But I'm going to tell you something, young people. You'll be happier if you push back than if you go along. You'll be happier if you push back than if you go along. Go along! See how you feel after a while. You'll feel as dirty as it is. That's what compromise is all about. You just wallow in the mud with the pigs. I'm not getting in that pig pen.
Blessed are they, happy are they, which are persecuted for what Barnes said, righteousness' sake. because they are righteous or are the friends of God. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's a blessing and a reward attached to that. But it doesn't stop there. As a matter of fact, all of the other things have one verse. This particular thing has three verses attached to it. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he could have left it there, but he didn't. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. That means they run their mouth against you. Reviling is simply words. And what does it say there? Blessed are ye when men shall speak evil against you, revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner shall say. This is all, right now we're talking about what? Words. That is the society that we live in. People literally commit suicide in our society over words, over the fact that they got too many dislikes or thumbs down that day. People have actually taken their own lives in this country over the fact that they've lost a bunch of followers or gotten a bunch of boom, thumbs down, dislikes. Over words. Words are a powerful thing. You know that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Garbage! Give me the sticks and the stones. But please don't say anything about me. I'd rather get the sticks and stones than people talking about me. Guess what? I'm over that. I'm over that. You should want to be accepted and liked, but at the same time, not to a compromising effect. Amen. Not to a compromising effect. You can't, if you're liked by everybody, there's something spiritually wrong with you. It's truth. Especially in the day and age that we live in. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Notice, falsely, for my sake. Not for your sake, for my sake. And then he says this, all the other ones stop with a simple thing there. Then in verse 12, it completes, the verse completes with this. He says, rejoice. I'm going to tell you something. When I got that first response, I didn't go, hoo-hoo. I'm telling you, I didn't. When I got that first response back, it was like, my brain starts running at 100,000 miles an hour, and I'm thinking, What is a good comeback? That's the flesh. If we're talking to each other and you give a comeback, that is 100% your flesh. You are in sin and you should apologize to your Christian brother or sister instantly. And that goes for the world as well. See, we don't get a green pass with the world. We don't. Just because they're not our brother and sister, they're just a friend, it doesn't give us a green pass to just to throw that aside and say, well, they're not brothers and sisters in Christ, so I can stomp all over them if I want to. I can bite back. Backbiters. That's what backbiting is. I can bite back. Happy are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. It talks about a great reward here for those who suffer persecution. For those who suffer persecution. Persecute. In a general sense, to pursue in a manner to injure, vex or afflict, to harass with unjust punishment or penalties for supposed offenses, to inflict pain from hatred or malignity. Definition number two, to afflict, harass, or destroy for adherence to a particular creed or system of religious principles or mode of worship. I can tell you right now, that because we don't have a contemporary church service, we're talked about. We are. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. And you know what God says? Blessed are you. I am sure that because we don't have the little sign flipping around out there at the beginning of our driveway that says, come as you are, we are talked about. You know what I say? Blessed are us for not having that sign. There's a whole lot of reasons for it. I am sure because of the fact that we do not hold to the soteriology, the doctrine of unconditional love, we would be talked about. Because after all, we're all God's children. We're all God's flowers in His garden, and He's going to pick us all someday. No matter what. Had a nun say that to me. And you want to talk about persecution? After that conversation that day, did we not experience it in Tuktoyaktuk? Yes, we did. Because she told the whole town. And at the time, I was angry at a nun. But I had a cause. Okay? And I didn't let it creep into my heart and cause something that destroyed my testimony there. I'm not saying that out of pride. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit kept me from that. Because my reaction was, I'm going to drag her down the steps by her hair. We were evil, mean people at our church when all I was trying to do was tell those dear people the truth. Listen, if you cling to the truth, you will be persecuted. And if you're not, you're not putting enough of it out there, either through your life or through your lips. Man, that's a good quote. Somebody write that down. Maybe somebody will remember it 100 years from now. Oh, I've got a million verses and we are out of time. Let's just do this. Go to 2 Timothy, since we're already there. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I hope this is the one that I want. Because I was going to go through all of them. Verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. He actually... It's beyond, I don't have time to get into the whole story, but the Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever.
And what does it say? We will inherit
the kingdom.
Paul said, God delivered me, and we will inherit, and I will inherit the kingdom.
And I guess what I need to, I just want to wrap this up. I don't have
the time to go to all these verses that I had originally planned on going to. As far as this is concerned, I just want to say this as we close. What is wrong with me? Me. I'm talking to me. What is wrong with me if I am not experiencing this in some way, shape, or form? Here's how. Romans chapter 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. If I'm not receiving persecution that the Bible says I will receive, then I have become conformed to the world. You're saying, but you're a Christian. It doesn't matter. I can still allow myself to be conformed to this world. I can compromise. I can quench the Holy Spirit. I can run with fear. Because after all, we're afraid of somebody saying something bad about us, aren't we? I don't want any dislikes. I want all thumbs up, smash the bell, and subscribe to my channel. Right? But you know what? That ain't the way it is. If you're a righteous man, woman, or young person, stand with your head.